Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the house for the home group meeting for the 23rd of July. And my, where has this year gone? Before I get going, I do have a note for those that listen to the home group meeting overseas. I have been getting your emails, and I have been busy with our family has been in, and so fear not, I will get answers to your email to you just as soon as I can. And thank you for your comments and all of your wonderful emails. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get into our home group meeting. The notes that we had from last meeting as a little review and start our spirit, you know, pointed in the right direction so we can get what the Lord wants for us tonight. So we started a new series home group meeting called All Things Are Out From God. And that's true. All things are out from God. And I started this by saying that I am convinced that most Christians know nothing about salvation. You know, they really know nothing. They don't know how that they're saved. They know if I believe, well, it's more than believing. It's believing, and then there's some repentance there. But did you know there's a process that we go through to be saved? There's a process in the Word of God, and we're going to look at that. We looked at that last month, and we're going to quickly look at that again in review by some verses that we have. Amen? And so there's another word that they used to use a long time ago, and it's called regeneration. Who's ever heard that word? Well, they used to say regeneration, but that word sounds kind of funny. Like sanctification sounds kind of funny, so they don't use that. You know, or justification sounds kind of funny, so most in the church don't do that, but that is kind of like our process of salvation. It's regeneration, justification by faith, and then sanctification. And so now we're going to look at that, you know, that regeneration, amen? So now we'll go ahead and start. Who has 2 Corinthians 5:17?
I do. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Wow.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. So that is the beginning. That is the beginning of salvation, that regeneration. When we are saved, when we come to the Lord, when we really in our heart that we are convinced that Jesus died for our sins, that begins that regeneration process. Who has that second verse, Colossians 1:27?
I do. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Well, read that again. Christ in me what?
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ in us. That is what makes us a Christian. It's not going to church. It's not doing all the church activity, none of that stuff. What makes us a Christian is Christ in us, and that is our hope of glory. A Christian is someone who has Christ in them, which is their hope. And true generation happens. It happens when, or when we're saved, is when Jesus joins us to himself. That is the process. When we get saved, it's not because we believe. Believing doesn't save us. We have to believe more than that. When we believe that Jesus died for our sins, what happened? Then Jesus joins his spirit with our spirit. We become one spirit. Actually, in the Greek, it's we are cemented together. Amen. That's what saves us. We are cemented together. Who has 1 Corinthians 6:17?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Wow. Is that it?
That's that verse.
Yeah, we are joined, we are cemented. When we really believe, we are cemented, we are joined, our spirits are joined together. And God has wrapped up all things for us in his Son, and he has freely given to us all things. Wow. Okay. Who has that Romans 8:32?
Right here. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Wow. So that the verse right there tells us that God gave us all things through his Son. And we're joined with his Son in the Spirit. Jesus' Spirit is joined with our spirit. Wow. And so then God can give us all things. The purpose of God, once we are saved, is to be conformed into Christ, who has, Galatians 4:19. Okay.
My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you.
Wow. Wow. That's God's purpose and that's God's goal in our life, is for Christ to be formed in us, to be formed in us. Now that is a process that will kill us, but that's okay. That's what God wants. God wants to kill our flesh. He wants to destroy all of the things that we want to do, that, you know, all of our wants and our dreams and our hopes and our plans and all of those things, and destroy those so that Christ can be formed in us. Christ will never ever be able to be formed in us if we are alive to our flesh, if we are alive to ourselves, if we're alive to our dreams and our plans and what we want to do. Christ will never ever be able to be formed in us. Who has Romans 8:29?
I do.
Yes.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Now that word there, conformed, it's not the conforming that you think is happening. We'll talk about that a little later. But that word conformed there means to be transformed, to be formed in us. And so that is two verses there that God wants to show us in his word, that he wants to form Christ in us. Then Christ becomes all things to us. Who has 1 Colossians 1:29-31?
First
Corinthians 1:29-31.
Yes, I have that.
Okay.
That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
Wow. So Christ is our justification. He's our sanctification. Christ is all things to us. We are birthed from above as a new creature, and our old creature is negated. That old Adam in us is not destroyed. Now, I wish God would destroy that, Brother Howard. What do you think? I wish God would take that David and just slay it and kill it, but it's not. And we're talking about why, you know, when that has happened. It is negated, it is stifled, but it is not been destroyed. God is not making little Xerox copies of Jesus. That goes against a lot of teaching and a lot of doctrine of a lot of churches, that they think that God is trying to take us and change ourself. God is trying to change David, his flesh. That's not what God is trying to do. God is trying to kill David. God is trying to kill David's flesh so that Christ can be formed in him. So God is not making little Xerox copies of Jesus. Oh no. He wants us to manifest the Christ that is in us, the Christ that is joined with Christ. He wants us to manifest that out to the world. Wow. Now, there's the conforming, which gets kind of confusing with the forming, so I want to go ahead and kind of clarify that a little bit. When we think of conforming something, that is a changing, like taking David's flesh and changing that into something godly. No, God wants to kill that. So we think that God is going to take some apples and he's going to change those apples into oranges. No, that's not what he's doing. He wants to form Christ in us. And what God is doing, he's going to go ahead and give us new oranges. He's not going to change the apples in us to oranges. He's just going to go ahead and give us new oranges. He's going to give us Christ. Wow. Christ. He's just going to give us Christ. You know, he's all things to us. He's not going to change us. He's going to give us Christ. And as Christ begins to work in our life, as God begins to work in us and change us, wow, then Christ will be able to be formed in us, to be formed in us. Amen? So that was some notes from last month that started this teaching. So let's go ahead and get into the new birth. And you should have the notes there in the packet. Amen? As noted, when we are joined to the Lord and become one spirit with Him, there is a birth. And we call that the new birth. A new creation in Christ Jesus is born. This is another way of saying that we have been born from above, or we've been saved. We have received Christ from without us into us. The new life is not born into us naturally. We have received Him from above. In short, God does not change us and change us into a new creation. Oh no, rather, He joins us to Christ and because we are then in Christ, we are a new creation. Now this is very, very important. I'm going to go ahead and cover that point again. He joins us to Christ because we are in Christ. Christ in us, we are in Him, then we are new creations. It's not about just believing, and it's not about just repenting, because you can stop doing something, and that's not going to save you. Or you can just believe. I mean, I can believe I'm a car. I can go out and get in my garage and go beep, beep all day long, but that's not going to do it. For us to be changed, for us to become that new creation in Christ Jesus, we must believe that Jesus died for our sins. And then we are joined with Christ as a new creation. Then all things are passed away. Wow, all things are become new. He is the source of all that makes this possible. Wow, He is the source that makes this possible. Now this is God's intention in our regeneration or in our salvation. This is what God wants to happen. This is what God wants to see in our life. But you know, it's not up to God whether this happens or not. It's not up to your pastor. It's not up to the Holy Spirit. It is up to us. It is God has done His part. Jesus has done His part. And it is up to us to go along with God's plan. If we're going to be a Christian. Remember, to be a Christian is Christ in you. Christ must be in you for you to be a Christian. You can be religious. You know, I say this, and I've said this before, the biggest mission field in the world is the church. So many people go to church and they're stuck in religion. You know, all of the activities and doing this and doing that. But that's not going to make you a Christian. The only way you can become a Christian is when Christ is in you. Now please note that it's not happened. Does not mean that the old man in Adam, or a natural man or a flesh, ceases to exist. This is not what Paul means when he says that old things have passed away. What he does mean is that our life is now Christ. Our life is now Christ and not that old nature. What he does mean is that our life is now Christ. Wow. He means that all things constitute true life are out of God in Christ. The rest is under death. Eventually, at the resurrection of the body, the old will ceases to exist. But for now, only the power of the old creation is broken. That's a very important point. That for now, only the power of the old creation is broken. It's negated. It's still there. It's still there. It remains present and thus possible for us to yield to that. Thus, we have in each believer two natures. Once we become a Christian, before we were Christian, we had one nature, a nature of sin and death. Once we become a Christian, now we have two natures. You know, two natures. We have the nature of Christ in us and that old man. As I said, Brother Howard, I wish God would kill my old nature. No, He hasn't. I wish He would. But it is alive, and it will control me, and it will control you if we yield our desires to it. Now, God has a plan for that old nature to be alive in us. And that old nature is a part of our free will. That old nature of us moving back into that old nature is a part of our free will, because God gives us a free will. He gives us, you know, an opportunity to go back from Him, to do those things in the world. And that's a part of our free will. Now, that free will be taken away in the future, but for now, that free will is alive and well. The Bible speaks much more about these two natures as the separation of the soul and the spirit. The soul is where our sin dwells. That is the negative side of that, of our nature, our soul. That is what God is trying to save, our soul and our spirit. But our soul is where sin dwells in all of those things. Our spirit is where God dwells if we're in Christ. That's where God dwells, in our spirit, in the believer. If we have received Christ, there is this division between the soul and the spirit. The presence of Christ in us immediately creates this division. Wow. It immediately creates this division. And there is, on one hand, Christ in us and all that is in Him. But there also remains, on the other hand, all that is of the natural. And not only is there this division and great distinction, but there is a great conflict. Can anybody say amen there?
Amen.
There is a great conflict in our spirit and in our heart. The natural and the spiritual are against each other. The natural and the spiritual are against each other. Who has Galatians 5, 16 and 17?
This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
That's right. That's right. So God has set this up. You know, this is an arrangement for God that our spirit and our flesh will be at odds with one another. And we are the ones that choose. We get to choose who wins that battle. Will our flesh win, or will the Spirit of God win if we're a Christian in Him? Wow. We choose the winner, and, you know, as we push toward the Lord, as we read His Word, as we spend time with Him, as we come to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then our flesh, that inward man, that flesh man, gets weaker and weaker and weaker. But if we do not read the Bible, and we do not pray, and we do not spend time with the Lord, and we do not do the things in obedience to the Lord, then our flesh will come alive, and our spirit will get weaker and weaker. And lay aside this all out, and if you could take a pencil and draw a circle around the new creature in Christ, a circle around our resurrection union in Christ, all that is inside the circle would be new. Wow. All that is inside of the circle would be out of God in Christ. Inside of that circle would be the life and the light and the truth. It would be Christ in us, and all of that constitutes the new birth. But outside of that circle would remain all that is old, the natural man and the flesh. Outside of the circle would be that which is out from that old man in Adam. Now hook this up with the statement of Jesus from John 3:6, and that says, which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The conclusion is that flesh cannot birth anything that is of God. Let me say that again. Our flesh cannot birth anything that is God. It may look right. It may sound religious. It may sound holy, you know, in churches and, you know, doing things, but our flesh cannot do anything that a God. It cannot manifest anything that is God. Flesh can only birth flesh. And even with the flesh birth is highly religious, looks holy, but still it is still flesh. Only God can birth that which is of God. In short, only that which is out of God is of God. It is of the Spirit. And all that is from out of the natural can never, ever be anything but the natural. All you got to do is turn on Christian TV and YouTube and all of that foolishness, you know, out there. That's all fleshly. That's only flesh of him, and that's all that will ever be. Once we begin to understand this truth and realize that each believer has two natures, one within that circle in Christ and the other outside of that circle in Adam, we should realize that only that which finds its source from Christ is of God. And anything that finds its source in the natural man is not of God. Only God can birth what is spiritual and of Christ. The rest must pass away. This is why one of the biggest reasons why most Christians are unhappy and they fall out of the way that God has for them. Because they don't understand that within them there is a sin nature. Within them there is Christ. Now we're talking about Christians. They don't understand that. They don't understand this arrangement that God has and how important it is to press into God so that we can build ourselves up spiritually. And so many Christians are very unhappy. And they, well, God is not working in my life and I'm sinning. And they just really don't understand this process of salvation. And once you come to the realization of how we are saved, how Christ is joined to us, Christ is joined, his spirit is joined to our spirit, and that we have these, you know, the sin nature and the spiritual nature in us, then we will begin to understand the way that God can work in our life. If Christ is in us, then all that is in him is out from God as the source. Well, let me say that again. If Christ is in us, then all that is in him, all that is in Christ, is from out of God as the source. Thus, this tells us we ought to be the source of all things for the believer. Christ, this is why Jesus said, abide in me, and without Christ, you can do nothing. Now, obviously, people can do plenty without Christ. It's just that they can do nothing that is God's will or that is eternal. Indeed, the problem is that each Christian people do plenty that is not outside, or, you know, that is not outside of Christ, but rather from out of themselves as the source, power, and intention. And where that is the case, what they are doing in part of what is going to pass away. Most good works, now I'm glad you're sitting down, but most good works of the church are done outside of the life of God. Amen. Most good works in the church are done outside from the life of God and is done in Adam. Wow. Think about that. But that's true. Most good works. Because it's all about them. It's, you know, it's all about, you know, them doing something good, and I'm going to do this for the Lord. And well, no, that's the wrong concept. You know, we do things for others so others may be saved. Amen. We give money in church not so that we can receive a blessing. We give money so that others may be saved. Amen. We give money in church so that others may be able to receive. Anytime we do anything for ourselves or for this reason or for that reason, that is a wrong reason. We must do things in God so that other people may receive. One of the greatest signs of spiritual maturity in someone's life is not how long you can speak in tongues or how long you can pray or how many chapters you can read in the Bible. That's not a sign of spiritual maturity. One of the greatest signs of spiritual maturity is when you do things for others who cannot repay you.
Amen.
Who cannot repay you, that don't have the means to repay you. You do that out of the goodness of your heart. No, you do that out of the goodness of God. You do that out of, Brother Dumper, out of the goodness of God. You're doing that so God will be blessed, not so that I will be seen and patted on the back. But we do things for God. All things are in Christ, and Christ has given us himself. And all that is in Christ is in us because he is in us. And so he is all things through us. Wow. Boy, I don't know about you, but that gets me kind of excited. Again, we have Christ in us and we have our natural man. God wants us to abide in Christ, to draw from Christ for all that we are and all that we need. Christ is our life. Let me say that again. Christ is our life. That covers everything. It covers everything. Christ is our life. Thus, indeed, of drawing upon our natural resources and using our natural man, we are to draw from Christ. So we're not to draw from our abilities and our skills and our intelligence and our strength. No, no, no. Since Christ is in us, we are to draw from Christ in all that we do. Most Christians in church do not draw from Christ. They draw from their own skills and their own abilities and their own talents and their own education. That's why God takes foolishness, like the preaching of the word, to save man. Not an educated man with a PhD. It's some foolish little person that you look at and go, what does he know? Well, he knows Christ, and Christ is in him, and he shares the word of God. Wow. Now, we are not going to do this unless God teaches us. Let me say that again. We're not going to live this way, and we're not going to do that unless God teaches us. And the way that God teaches us is not merely through information or direction. Those things help, and we must find what God is doing in Scripture, but God teaches us Christ. God teaches us Christ, and the Holy Spirit guides us into all truths, amen. Usually through experiences. Wow. Amen. Usually through experience. Why do bad things happen to Christians? God is teaching them Christ. Why do bad things happen? God is teaching us about life in Christ. It's experience that we go through with God. The pains and the suffering and all of these things that we don't understand. He's teaching us about Christ. Wow. God will often allow us to try to live our lives on the basis of the natural man. That'd be another good place to say amen. And we tend to do this without realizing that. He will often allow us to prove to us the complete futility of it. He may even allow us to crash and burn. Have you ever crashed and burned? Randy, have you ever crashed and burned? I have crashed and burned. Wow. But crashing and burning is not bad. As long as we get up. Crashing and burning is okay. It's okay to fail. It's okay to, you know, sin. Now don't, if you're sinning, stop. But if you sin, it's not over. Get up. Dust yourself off and learn from that. God will often allow us to crash and burn. And why? So that we may see through that experience, yes, the emptiness of our natural man, but more that so that we may have been proved to us that Christ alone is all things are out from God. We must experience Christ for ourselves. Let me say that again. We must. You must experience Christ for yourself. Hearing from your mama, hearing from your daddy, and hearing from the way it used to be a long time ago is not enough. Hearing the pastor preach is not enough. Each person must have an experience with Christ for themselves so that they know that they know that God has brought me out of this darkness or brought me out of the miry clay. How do we know that, you know, God is a healer? Well, I was sick and God healed me. How do we know that God is a provider? Well, I was poor and I had nothing and God provided my need. How do we know God loves me? Well, I feel no one loves me. And then God comes and he wraps his arms around us. And we have that experience with him. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that God loves us.
Amen.
When Paul said, "With old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." All things are out of God. He was stating a finished fact. But then God will prove it to us if we are open to the truth. we must still be brought into that finished truth, and we'll need to discover all that we need is in Christ. And what it means to abide in Him, for all of that is out from Christ. Amen. What does it mean to abide in Christ? It means to live from out of Christ as our source. How many Christians do that? How many live their life where Christ is their source? It means that if we are already joined to the Lord and we are in one spirit with Him, that we must by faith live in Him and draw from Him all that we need. We are already joined to Him. Now believe it and see it and live like it. Christ is to be our life. Wow. Christ is to be our life. He is the vine. We are the branches. To function as He is in our life speaks to what is really meant to abide in Him. He is the vine and we are the branches. We can truly do nothing. That was the message that I shared with the church in Ukraine last time I was there. Because I was in some similar churches, and they were saying, "Oh God, we need you, God, you're our help. Oh God, please help us, help us, help us," you know. And I went back to the same church 1 year ago as the war progressed, and their testimony was, "The Ukrainian military is strong, and we're going to defeat those Russians." And my message to them was, no, John 15:5 says, "For without me, you can do nothing." Without me, my brothers and sisters, you can do nothing. Nothing at all. To abide in Christ is as a branch abides in his vine is exactly what it means to enter into his rest by faith. It means that I know it is finished and now I'm standing and now I'm going to turn and live like it is finished. I'm going to abide in Christ who is my life. And in whom all things are from God. Or, of course, there is nothing here that I can do or need to do to make something happen. It is not a matter of getting God to do something. Oh, no, it's not. It is a matter of seeing who Christ is. It is a matter of seeing and understanding and experiencing Christ, who Christ is. And of surrendering ourselves to Him as our Lord. Get back to the basics. A branch does not need to try to convince the vine to help him. Oh no. A branch needs not to struggle to drag life from the vine. Oh no. A branch needs to abide in and rest in the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. We do that by faith, and we will find that we are indeed already one in Him. Wow, we are already one in Him. Tremendous, tremendous truth. So this is the process of that new birth in us. When we really are convinced, you know, Peter wasn't convinced. He wasn't convinced when he walked with the Lord. Jesus says, now, after you are convinced, then strengthen the brethren. But before that, Peter was doing miracles. He was leading the disciples and doing all of these things. But he wasn't convinced. After his failure, after he experienced Christ in a little way, wow, then he was convinced. And then he went ahead and strengthened his brethren. So after we are convinced, then Christ comes to live within us, and He joins His Spirit with our spirit. And then all that is in Christ is now in us. All that is in Christ. When the Bible says all, it means all. All in Christ is now in us. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for your love and your many mercies, Father, Lord God. Thank you for this word, Father, Lord, as it goes out over the internet, Father, Lord God, to, you know, the many people that listen, Father, Lord. Lord, I would ask that you would take this word, Father, Lord God, and touch hearts, Father, Lord God. Let them, Father, Lord, come to the realization that they need not be religious, that they need to experience Christ in their life. Christ in us, and us in Christ, Father, Lord. That's what makes us a Christian. Nothing else. There's nothing else. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit, and Christ in us, Father, Lord God. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Thank you for this time, Father, Lord. Bless all that have joined together in the home group meeting. And Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.